Welcome everybody to JSA's end of week conference call. Kevin Clausen here, and I will kick it off with a recap of the corn market. Well, this week we rallied on Black Sea and weather headlines, really right out the gate on Tuesday session. So Russia formally ended the grain deal and then followed that up with some attacks on the Ukraine ports. And then both sides, you know, throughout the middle of the week, increased their rhetoric about how they would view grain vessels as potentially carrying military equipment. So you couple that with the weather story that hit us early in the week with the intense heat that's coming and the relatively dry forecast. So normally mid-90s in July in the heart of the Corn Belt wouldn't be that big of a deal, but just given our lack of subsoil moisture in several areas, it's just gotten the market excited. So overall, it was a volatile week with huge volumes being traded and some really big price swings, really in a matter of minutes. And you could just watch some of the headlines being released and see that, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 cent swings in, you know, both directions. So pretty volatile week. Overall, I'll say markets were supportive. Crude did rally back to end the week, you know, nearly unchanged from last Friday. This $77 level that we've been at in the last week and into this week, it's a level we haven't been at since April. Equities have been pretty strong all week, but the dollar did reverse off of its lows from last week, and it's been trending, you know, solidly higher here the last couple of days. Crop conditions improved 2 percentage points to 57%, good to excellent. It was in general in line with expectations. You know, July weather has been nearly ideal for pollination, you know, from a temperature standpoint. But, you know, the areas that are lacking the rainfall, you know, they're going to hurt next week with the type of heat coming in. You know, for the areas that have an adequate amount of subsoil moisture, I mean, the heat's not going to be an issue at all. But what the market's wrestling with is, you know, how long this heat's going to last and whether or not we'll trend to the cooler and wetter August that some people in the market are talking about. Looking at December corn, we closed at 536 and a quarter. That's up 22 and a half cents on the week. And that's after being up 19 and a quarter cents last week. We traded a 60 cent range. We set the low on Monday before surging higher Tuesday and Wednesday with two pretty big back-to-back days. We made the high on Wednesday and then reversed lower Thursday and today. We surged through all but the 200-day moving average this week. You know, today's close was well below the 100-day and well off of the Wednesday and Thursday highs. The 50-day did hold today on the sell-off, which was interesting. But at the end of the day, it's you know, the charts look a little weak technically, but it's going to be all about Sunday night's open. The CFD spread was 2 cents weaker, closing at 9 and a quarter. The D Smart spread firmed a half a cent, closing at 11 and a quarter for the week. On the ethanol front, the margins remain very solid. And run rates did jump this week from 1032 to 1070. And the prior 4 week average run rate is 1049. So pretty solid report out this week on run rates. Ethanol stocks did increase, but overall they're pretty manageable. So no concerns on the stocks front. Weekly export inspections were on the low end of the trade guess at 364,000 tons. Weekly export sales came in at 237,000 tons for old crop and 492,000 tons for new crop. Colombia and Mexico, they were the main buyers. Overall, a decent weekly export number versus expectations, but still well off the pace that we normally would see this time of year. The Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, they left their corn production unchanged at 34 million tons. That's versus the USDA number at 35. And really, going into Sunday night, it's just going to be all about the weather headlines and what, if any, sort of headlines we get out of the Black Sea region. You know, it's the market today started to see that maybe this was a shorter term heat event. So hopefully that's the case. And the Black Sea deal, I mean, that's really a coin flip. I think it's just as likely that that situation eases and the grain deal gets back open again, you know, versus, you know, us needing to put much more premium back into this market for that story. So hopefully we see some better forecasts to start next week. That's all I got for corn, Rocky. You want to take us through beans?
Beans weren't nearly as volatile as corn was this week. No beans up 21 cents. I'm sorry, August beans up 21 cents. No beans up 31. Meal was up $8 on the week, and oil was up 321 ticks. August beans had a 48 cent range. August beans have been following the 10 day really since the June acres report. And that's only dipped below it two or three times since. So beans have been well supported. November, yeah, not quite as strong. November is more a function of weather. The Aggie Nov started the week at 115 cents. It's down to 99 on the close tonight. But, shoot, that thing bounced 15 cents in the last 2 days. That spread really shouldn't be any good. July FOB Hennepin. So if you were somehow able to get beans in July, put them on a barge against the August, you'd get eight over. Well, obviously, that's not going to happen. But FOB Hennepin for August, it's like eight under. Delivery is 21 over. So really, the Aggie Nov should be no good. I will caution you, though, 53,254 open interest. I mean, it's virtually the same as September open interest. So anything can happen with that spread. But I suspect the long is going to have a tough time holding on to it. Cash markets this week, CIF market didn't do a ton, kind of bounced around a little bit. Maybe a touch firmer, but I think that's a function of freight. The processor bids, though, very decidedly one direction. If you look at all the processor changes over the course of the last week, you only had one change in both the east and the west higher. The West had 71 changes lower, and the East had 28 changes lower. So definitely a bearish bias or a downward bias on bean basis. Let's see. Crop conditions down 6 on the week. Crop conditions were 55% good to excellent. That's 6% lower than last year. Last year's yield was 49.5, and the government is calling this year to a yield of 52. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, how that comparison holds up. NOPA crush on the week, 165.023. I mean, that was disappointing. That was below even the trade range of 165.58 to 172. And it was 5 million below the average trade guess. So once again, crush is just disappoints the bull. Export sales, 127,000. After adjustments, though, really, it was only about a 70,000 positive. Commitments for the year with 7 weeks left, 1.935 billion. We're down almost 7 million tons year on year. We need to average 170,000 over the remaining 7 weeks. Bean shipments, 240,000 this week. We need to average 275,000 over the remaining 7 weeks. And it looks like we're not going to be able to do that. If you look at these cash markets, I mean, Brazil's competitive all the way into October. In September alone, Brazil is, 65 cents cheaper FOB than U.S. Gulf. Really, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to the Delta beans, but we are going to struggle with bean business for a while. New crop sales, 760,000, a cumulative 4.9 million metric tons. We are finally starting to pick up the pace the last couple of weeks. So the 4.9 million tons cumulative, last year at this time, we were 14.1. So we are 9 million tons less. China's the main reason. New crop sales in their name are 1.9. Last year was 8 million tons. This is the lowest sales we've had on the books for new crops since 3 million tons in 2019-20. So it'll be interesting to see when China wants to come back to the market. But given how cheap Brazil is, it might be quite some time where they're, you know, wholly buying U.S. Brazil news. The first 2 weeks of July, they shipped 6.2 million metric tons. They're expected to ship 10.4 for the month. And those numbers, shipments out of Brazil continue to surprise everybody. Basis in August is firmer. I don't know if there's a ton of offers, and I think it's more of a capacity issue. September basis, the offers are unchanged on the week. The bids are up about 30 cents, so there's still a 15-cent bid-ask range. The one thing that's interesting when you start looking out to February and March, Brazil is just so cheap. I mean, if you wanted to, you could probably buy a cargo at 60 under for Feb, and you could buy a cargo for March at 90 under. We're just going to do so little business out there. I don't know that I have much else. Today was option expiration for August, and I really thought we'd settle right at $15. Settled at $15.01. So next week, I guess it's about the weather, but it seems like more so for beans. I don't think there's much of a factor with the Black Sea unless corn and wheat go ripping higher. That's probably going to help the bean market. So that's all I got. Colton, you're on wheat.
All right. Appreciate it, Rocky. And of course, I'm filling in for Wayne as he's out fishing this week. We'll get Wayne back in the saddle, I believe, next week and actually get an expert advice on this. So you guys are stuck with the B team this week. But boy, what a, you know, I think Kevin summarized kind of the political headline risk well there. And really, that was kind of as volatile as corn was and certainly helped by the weather forecast. You know, wheat was all the more volatile as it really, you know, when you think about the Ukraine, Russia political risk in the immediate, it's really more to do with kind of wheat. And, you know, the thing I want to start with is really going back to Wayne Parman's, you know, point that he's been driving home really since the WASDE report was released and driving home that point that based off of what the USDA has for production and trade, the top exporters in Russia, EU, Australia, and Ukraine are very well coming in with the potential of having the lowest ending stocks since 06-07. So really the backdrop of this just does not have a lot of margin for error. And so it's made the wheat market very volatile and that was shown in the trade this week. But I want to go back to that. And particularly for Russia, Ukraine, I mean, Russia, Ukraine is the first and fourth largest wheat exporters respectively in the world and account for 20% of the global exports in 21 and 22. So that's the backdrop of this and really kind of amplifies the wheat situation. So, you know, with that, we'll kind of dig into it. So all three U.S. wheat markets saw positive trade action on the week, but did fall sharply off their highs in large part today as really the political pressure mounts. We got comments out of the UN, you know, really attacking Russia's approach on this. It is a big political ticket item, you know, with using the, you know, food insecurity as kind of the backdrop and Russia using the corridor for warfare has really pressured this. And like Kevin said, you know, there is a feeling maybe developing that we'll see this get resolved, but that's yet to be determined. But with that, Chicago wheat ended up 31 cents on the week with a $1.08 trade range. September contract ended up at $6.97. Kansas wheat was likewise up 31 cents on the week, 85 cent trade range. The SEP contract closed at $8.60. Minneapolis was probably the the least performing of the three, an initially gapped higher on the week, but only managed a 3-cent improvement with a 55-cent trade range. SEP contract there closed at 887. Kansas City and Minneapolis contracts each found support at their 200-day moving averages, while the Chicago found resistance near that point. Winter wheat did progress well, improving 10%, harvested on the week at 56%. This is down 13% from last year in the five-year average as we continue to see notable slowness in Kansas and Nebraska, but dry weather across the U.S. should have progressed that to a strong close out there as we head into Monday. Just general comments that we at JSA have heard is, you know, I guess I can sit here and point to, I've never heard so many people talk about 100 bushel wheat yields in my career. And really, you know, we've heard upwards of 135 in the Illinois and Indiana region. So just been an impressive progress there. Argentina was reported at 92% planted, and the beige came out. They did not increase the planted acres, sticking with it at 6 million hectares. And also wanted to point out 71% of their crop was planted in fair conditions. And just a big improvement in what we've seen out of Argentina as the stress has mounted down there. So on the spring wheat, progress, 86% was headed out nationally and remains well ahead of average. I think that was 14% ahead of average on maturity. So that seems to be progressing well. On the export side of things, export inspections were in line with expectation at 253,000 tons, but were down from last week at 419. We still remain 16% behind last year's pace, and that's despite the USDA's reduced goal of 680,000. Or 680 million bushels. Export sales didn't help any. We continue to see disappointing sales out of the U.S. as we come in below the trade range at 171,000 tons on the week. Just real quick on the spreads, you know, all three markets saw spreads initially jump on the news along with futures, but really we reverted back to basically getting back to where we started the week or continuing to widen. You see the Chicago SEP Dece widen back out to 20 as harvest pressure continues to weigh there. Minneapolis and Kansas City wheat spreads continued to widen out there as well. So one bright spot is at least in the Chicago soft red market. That is where a little bit of carry is being built into this thing. So big crop has allowed for some carries markets. It'd be nice to get everything back in there, but it's going to be some time. So yeah, I guess just quickly summarizing wheat. I mean, really, it's all to do with politics. You know, as Kevin said, you know, time will tell on that. But again, I go back to that backdrop. Wheat's in a vulnerable spot right now, just with no better supplies that the world has right now and how tight the major exporters are. And with Russia and Ukraine being a big part of that, it's going to be very interesting to see how that develops. So a lot more, ending the week really with a lot more questions than answers, but certainly a lot of volatility. So that's what I got for wheat. And with that, we'll go ahead and conclude this week's call. Appreciate your time and have a good weekend.